You're listening to TJ Talks. This podcast probably is going to contain a lot of explicit language, so you're forewarned. Well, good evening. Welcome to TJ Talks. I am Jed.
And I'm Teresa.
Hey. Well, here we are. Happy post-Independence Day.
Middle of summer now. We're in the thick of it, right?
And well, you know what's so weird is that for us, growing up, school didn't start till, what, after Labor Day? Is that right?
Correct, yeah.
And now I understand that kids are going to school, like, on my birthday, which was the middle of summer.
Right.
Just reminding everybody, my birthday is, like, first week of August. You know, Starbucks cards, you don't have to do that.
Just send the scriptograms or whatever. That's all you want.
Sure. support me in my run.
Yeah, right. No, you want the scriptogram. Okay. My kids go back to school August 6th, and it can't happen a moment too soon for me. I am so done with summer. But that's my own bad parenting. The kids are fine. I just should have planned better for their summer, and I didn't.
But they get out earlier, too.
Correct. My children were out before Memorial Day, so they were out before summer even officially started. They go back before summer is anywhere near over, but I'm thrilled for my sanity. I'm thrilled for my air conditioning bill. I'm thrilled for my TV that is going to burn out with all the Xbox images that are, you know, seared across it every day. Yes. So, yeah, like I said, it can't start soon enough for me. But that's me. I'm sure other parents are much, you know, more bummed about it.
But that still blows my mind because I can remember it was like June 17th when we got out of school. I think our graduation was like that date.
Yeah. And within 2 weeks, we'd be on vacation as my family would do and be doing 4th of July somewhere. And that was like the very first part of summer.
I mean, you did Flag Day at school.
Yeah, absolutely. All that stuff. No, we don't do that anymore. They don't do that anymore.
No.
So
yeah, that's crazy that the summertime is just about over. But, the one thing about summer is it makes it difficult to work out outside. And living in Florida, different than California, it rains almost every afternoon here.
Oh, really? God, we haven't had enough rain. Although we've had a weird, unseasonable chill and cloud cover in July. We don't usually get that. And had a few droplets from it. But you're right. The whole workout thing outside is not happening for me. I don't know what you're doing with your training because you got all your marathon stuff that you're doing.
I do. I have a 10-miler in October.
Are you ready?
No, I was going to go run 4 miles today, and then it started raining, and I went back in after 2.5 miles.
So do you believe in this, it takes 21 days to form a habit thing? You've heard this theory, right?
I think it kind of helps, yeah. I think there's something to that.
Do you think it has to be 21 straight days, or can it just be 21 intermittent days?
Well, okay. Here, I'll give you a good example. I've been on the Weight Watchers diet for a while.
Okay.
And I was tracking it religiously for about a month and a half. Okay. And now I'm burnt out on the whole thing.
On tracking? Are you losing any weight still or no?
I'm stable. I'm not gaining, I'm not losing, I'm just stable.
So when you say you're burnt out of tracking, you're burnt out of the food, you're burnt out of the whole idea of dieting, what's burning
you
out?
The whole thing. But I mean, I'm still eating this basically the same food, I'm just not tracking, haven't for the last 4 days.
And they say that's a big deal, like when you let that go, then you tend to let other things go.
Right, but I've been exercising more.
Okay.
So I do exercise, I've been eating. I bought all the food and I don't one of the things I noticed is I'm not eating as much breads.
Well, that's better for you, right?
And I think that's why I'm not gaining weight. I think that the breads, cereals and all that kind of stuff, a lot of white bread is what causes
it. It's all carbs. Carbs are dangerous, especially at our age, right? Yeah.
True that.
That's why I just drink my carbs.
Yeah, there you go.
And then occasionally I splurge. Okay, so I appreciate this topic because I am of the resolute opinion that the only time to work out is in the morning. I think you and I agree on that, but you don't get to do it in the morning because of your time schedule.
Right. I may start. I've been talking to my boss about a couple days a week coming in later and flexing my time. So I may still. because where I live now, I live on the beach. For those who don't know, I live in Cocoa Beach, and I can go run on the beach, which I love to do.
But good.
It's different to run on the beach, though.
It's much harder. It builds your muscles much stronger. That sand is crazy.
Well, it depends where. If you like me, I don't run in the soft sand. I run in the hard sand right next to the water. So that's not too bad.
Okay. So it's still different than it's still using different muscles than the concrete is, or grass or whatever.
A little bit. I mean, it gives. It definitely gives. Yeah. So you're not bouncing as much.
So if you did that in the mornings, two, three times a week, you'd feel good about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's my dilemma, Jed, is that my mornings are my time to do it. I get it.
Yeah.
But the only way to make it work in my schedule is to be up, because I have to have my morning routine, because I can't do anything simply. So if I wake up at 4:45 and get up and have my coffee or whatever it is, that's going to get me amped up to be at the gym by 5:30, because it's too hot to work outside, or it's still too dark, or it's whatever it is that I can't do. It's just getting up at 4:45 in the morning sucks. It just sucks. And I don't know about you. Are you a snooze button pusher?
As a matter of fact, I am. As a matter of fact, I have two alarms on my phone. I have the 4:30 alarm, and then I go back to sleep sometimes, where I'll be just sitting in bed and kind of in and out and whatever. But then I have the 5 o'clock, and they're different sounding alarms.
Right.
The one at 5 o'clock, that one is, that one
get
is
out
so
of
annoying,
bed.
You will get the hell up. The first one, not so bad.
So what is the percentage of times that the first one goes off at 4:30 that you pop out of bed?
50-50.
Really? That's good, though. 50-50 is better than what I do. I am a perennial snooze pusher, and it annoys my husband, poor guy's trying to sleep or whatever, and I think I'm always optimistic that I'm going to be good and get up when it goes off. I never do. So I said to him last night, I said, I promise you the alarm's going to go off and I'm going to get up. And I did today. But that's one day. How am I going to do it for the next 20 days? And should I do it on the weekends when I don't have to? Like, I'm so confused. And if I don't do it on the weekends, then I lose my momentum. And I'm one of these people that needs to be very much a creature of habit. So if I don't, I'm like a child, Jed. I can't get my shit together.
No. You know, the worst part is they having two alarms. And you get up on the first one. You go take the shower. And while you're in the shower, the second alarm is going off.
Starts going off.
And
yes,
and you're hearing while you're in the shower, and you want to get out naked and soft and wet, and it's cold, and then you don't want to touch the phone because you're soaking wet, and you don't want to touch your phone while you're wet.
Okay, that sounds like that's happened a few too many times for you.
Okay.
All right. So here's my proclamation. All right, because if I say it out loud on the podcast, maybe I will half-assedly do it. I'm trying this 4:45 thing, and I'm going to try it even on the weekend because what the hell? And get up and do my thing so that I'm awake and dressed and do my gym thing and be done with it for 21 days, okay?
Okay. You might need some accountability. You might need to do the stick thing.
I do. For the listeners who don't know what stick is, stick's a website. You make somebody your monitor, right?
Right.
And Jed has done it for me before on things that I failed as well. So, if I need a new monitor, Judd. But you can put a monetary penalty if you don't do it. You can put a whatever on there. I could owe you something, like Starbucks card.
I was going to say, I'd like a Starbucks gift card.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
There you go.
But how are you going to get proof from me? Do you need a, because like a text message at 4:45, I could lay in bed and send you a text message.
You know what? You got to use any of the running tracking systems. Whether it's Nike Plus or Runkeeper or whatever you're doing, because they're going to track your movement. Or if you have one of those, don't you have like a Fitbit or something like that?
I do. I'm over that now too.
Okay. any tracking that shows your time that you did your workout.
All right. Fair enough. I got it. I'll send you something every day for 21 days.
There you go.
And if I don't... Okay, so let's negotiate here because I need to have some built-in buffers.
Uh-huh.
Is there any stipulation between – you can miss a day. Like I could miss a Sunday.
You can miss three days.
3 days. in a row or separate or whatever.
3 days and the whole thing.
I can only, okay, so I got to do at least 18 of the 21. All right, yeah. All right.
Is that
right.
Is that pretty good?
That sounds more than fair. So, okay.
I mean, that gives you 3 Sundays or 3 Saturdays to sleep in.
Okay.
Or okay. Whatever.
Well, and then, let me ask you this then, so because I got to keep negotiating and bartering. Uh-huh. If I don't get up at 4:45 but still get the run in, will you count that?
Absolutely. You okay, just got to so get that, in during the day. I don't care.
That seems fair. All right, all right, all right.
I don't think this is you want to work out, right? You don't.
Yes.
It's not about getting up early.
No, but 90% of the time, if I don't get up early, I won't get the workout in.
Right. But that's on you.
That's on me. Okay. So 21 days of working out in a row with 3 missed variables based on maybe I have a stroke or something and I can't work out for a day. Uh-huh. All right. So, okay. I mean, that's me. What are you putting up, my friend?
Oh. Oh, I didn't realize.
What are you going to put on the table here, Mr. Stick?
I don't know. Wow.
You could commit to the same thing, 21 days.
21 days of work.
Yeah.
I don't know how I could do it. How could I do it? I can't get them in.
It beats 28 days of rehab.
I'm telling you.
All right. Well,
I'll think of something.
We won't make you be held accountable for it. And you can just continue to be lazy.
Okay. Well, actually, my real workout is going to start in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Because I am doing, if you have the Nike Plus app, just like you're doing Coach to 5K, I believe, or whatever you're doing.
Couch I'm doing to 5K.
Couch to 5K? Yeah.
Yes.
I'm doing the Nike Plus, their, what do they call it? Coaching for a marathon. 24 weeks.
Okay. Right?
And they tell you what to do every day, and your phone goes off and reminds you.
What is your base supposed to be now if you're going to start for the marathon? Let's say it's 2 weeks from now. Do they say you need to be running 10 miles a week as a base, or are they going to coach you from zero?
Well, I told them I wanted a zero, but okay, they start you off with a 4 mile run. The first your first run is a 4 mile.
Yeah, they have to assume that you have some sort of basis of.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And then the next week, you're working a number of 5 mile runs. 3 mile runs and 5 mile runs. By week 3, you're still building a base, and at the end of week 3, you're doing a 6 miler, which is a 10K.
That's a lot in 3 weeks. If you had no basis of foundation for being in shape or running.
But I'm okay with this because by the time I get to week 6, let's see here, week 7, week 8, by week 8, you're still only at 6 mile. Markers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, hold on. I wish. Oh, you know.
And that's just for the marathon that you're training for, not all the other events that you're doing that whole weekend.
Right.
So, and what? Probably around week 20, it'll get you to 20 miles. I bet. Because that's what you need to at least do 20 if you can before the marathon. Because that's if you can do 20, then you can do 26.
Right. Well, I have the 10 miler to do in what do they call it? In October.
Okay.
The first week of October. So cool. I will be by that time they have you run an 8 miler, but actually 10 miles is actually on the day of my 10 miler.
Okay, so you're set.
Coincidentally, that's what they have me running Saturday, a 10 miler, and that's the 11th, and I believe that's the day of my 10 miler at Disney Tower Terror run.
Fun.
Yeah, and then there's party after. Woohoo!
So I love that.
We've been talking for 15 minutes, but we haven't talked about what we're going to talk about.
What are we going to talk about today? We have some interesting, sort of, you know, very benign topics today.
We do. So we're going to talk a little chewing gum, bubble gum chat, I guess, sort of. We're going to talk a little sex. Drugs and rock and roll and stuff like that, I guess.
Presidential sex.
Hot, Oval steamy, Office. Hot, steamy presidential sex. I want to be the guy who does the book for that, the audio book.
The audio. Oh God, it reads that. So for those of the, you that don't know, we're talking about the Warren G. Harding love letters to his
next door neighbor.
His next door neighbor's wife.
Yes, door neighbor's wife. Yes,
whom he had to elicit at least on paper affair with. We don't really know
we'll get there. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So then we're also going to talk about Charlie Sheen greeting guests drunk at a Taco Bell.
God bless him. I swear to God.
And then there's breaking news with another Malaysian airline that crashed, but this one's a little different because it was shot down over Russia.
And well, now they're saying it wasn't shot down. I don't know. There's so many conflicting reports today, even.
Really?
The U.S. government just decided that they don't think it was shot down. So, or maybe not shot down by the Russians. Whatever.
A terrorist. Now they're saying
it's crazy.
So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then
it's always terrorists.
And what else? And then whatever else pops into our
head. We want to talk about the Facebook experiment.
Oh, the Facebook experiment. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me make sure.
Were we victimized by it? I have no idea if I was.
Okay. Let me make sure I have that on my list of
things. On your list of things to do.
Yeah. So.
All right. So let's talk about hot sex in the Lincoln bedroom.
All right.
First of all. Come on, that's got to be on your bucket list, to fuck somebody in the White House. Like, wouldn't that be awesome to do that?
In the White House?
Yes! If you were a guest at the White House, wouldn't you want to be with somebody and totally have sex in the White House? Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, you know what? If I got to go with somebody else to the White House and I got the Lincoln bedroom, apparently?
Of course, the Lincoln bedroom. The hot spot.
You know what? Probably more people have fucked in that bedroom than anywhere in the whole planet.
I don't know why, but that would be like the illicit most fun place for me. And, you know, people have weird fantasies about, oh, I want to fuck in the church or want to do this or that. No, no, no. I would totally get off on doing it in the White House. I think that would be pretty awesome.
Well, anyway, so John Oliver has read some of the illicit letters from the president.
So he was only president for 2 years. He died in office, right? And he had an affair with his neighbor's wife. Now, when did he still continue the affair in office? Do we know, or was it just the letter writing then?
I don't know enough yet.
Sounded like it was still going on, and then he was still writing the letters concurrently.
Right, but it definitely started. It ended before he was sworn in as president. It does say that in the report.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. But as they explain on the show, on John Oliver's show on HBO, he says, "These are smutty fuck notes, so raunchy, a 40-year-old mother of two should be reading them on her Kindle."
I love him. He's so great, and his accent makes it even funnier.
Was he talking about you?
No, about me, the 40-year-old mother sitting around my kennel? Yes, but I'm not a fan of Fifty Shades of Grey. I mean, I wasn't, you know, I don't need that kind of erotica. I prefer other things.
Oh, I don't think that any of this is bondage. This is just straight up, you know, in fact, he talks about how he named his penis.
Oh, I know. I love that. I love that he did that. And first of all, that anybody does that, but I think that's funny.
He named his penis Jerry.
So George. Here's what I love.
Jerry! I love... Like in Seinfeld.
All right, here's what I love, okay? First of all, who doesn't love hot, steamy passion? That you can't get enough of it in life. We all need more of it, I think. I'm convinced. And his thing, for sure... When he wrote on the back, I saw a note where he wrote on the back of a photograph of himself to this woman, "My darling, there are no words at my command sufficient to say the full extent of my love for you. A mad, tender, devoted, ardent, eager, passion-wild, jealous, hungry love." Come on! Who doesn't want to get that kind of steamy love note? That is the most awesome thing. The president, the leader of the free world.
Yeah, but he wrote something like this. He goes, "Jerry, you recall Jerry. He told me to say that you are the best and darling in the world. And if he could have but one wish, it would be to held in your darling embrace and be thrilled by your pink lips."
Yeah, so he wants a blowjob. I'm not saying it's all poetry and magistry.
No. That's not the pink lips he's talking about.
Oh, I disagree.
Really?
Yeah, I disagree. I think he wants a blowjob.
I think he was the forebearer to Hustler.
Well, I'm sure there is a double entendre with lips, but okay. I assume it means something else.
Okay.
But here's the thing. It's how many years later. First of all, do we really need to know this? Like, what are we benefiting from this as a country and for our historical preservation? Probably nothing. Is it privacy that's been violated on his part or the remainder of his family or his ancestors now? It doesn't probably seem like a fair thing.
But does it make our prudish nature of thinking that all these politicians are beyond reproach and should be puritanical, or does it?
Well, does anybody think that anymore? I don't think any of these politicians are beyond reproach.
But listen to that standard right now.
The president in 2024, whatever year is going to be an election, already has naked pictures on the internet right now somewhere, right? Like, whoever it's going to be in the year 2020 plus, it's too late for them. They've already had that boob shot or that penis pic that's out there for someone to see, find, forward, etc. Now everybody's doing it, you know. Hold up your hand if you're not on this podcast.
Oh.
A resounding hands down, right? Oh, like, we God. Have never done this, right? So it's too late. We're all just doing it. It's fine. Just own it.
Just own it. I mean, people look at themselves naked in the mirror. They go, you know, they want to see themselves. They do.
And that's not why I'm doing the pictures, but long story short,
they want to send them to their boyfriend or their girlfriend or their husband or their wife. I mean, and whatever the reason is, who cares?
Or all of the above, right?
I mean, you do it for whatever the fuck the reason is that you want to be naked and be happy about your body. I mean,
so we're not puritanical anymore, even though we say we are or we act like we are. We're not. No one is. Everybody has got the wide stance in the bathroom or whatever it is that creates all these problems for these politicians. And the Anthony Wieners of the world are more prevalent than not. And let's just own it.
So when you get down to it, does this make the Anthony Wiener issue seem like big deal, or is it as big of a deal as it should have been?
It was never a big deal, literally.
I didn't see the penis, but apparently Barbara Walters did.
She would know. No, but I'm not moved by that. I mean, obviously, I have loose moral standards, so nobody should judge what real proper people should do based on my behavior. I just think that we all need to get over our sexuality body issues. That's just me. So. Uh-huh.
Cool.
One thing I will say, and this is the one thing I don't love about this. Some of his letters were 30 pages long. Now, that's a little stalker creepy. I don't know. Do you think 30 pages for a love letter is a little much?
No.
Not
then, and not on the size of the letter.
30 pages.
They're little pages. These are an 8.5 by 11 type. They're handwritten. They're freaking like, what are they? They're like whatever that little letter size is.
I know exactly what letter size is, that little size is, but all total, there's like 900 pages of love letters. That's a lot of love letters. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't love to get them. I'm just saying there's a lot of love
letters. Look, it really wasn't a love letter. It was just a freaking erotic story that had her name in it. That's all.
All right. Well, okay. So let's think about this. Yeah. Warren G. Harding.
Yeah.
I would not have suspected him to have been a philanderer.
Wait, okay, look at that picture of that face. That is the face that would sink a fucking 1,000 ships.
What other presidents have this out there? Does Nixon have love letters to somebody out there?
Pat?
Well, no, I'm not talking to their wife. I'm talking about their, you know, other significance. Yeah.
Who knows what Monica Lewinsky has?
Well, right. We know about her, right? Did Gerald Ford have a mistress? Did Ronald Reagan have other people? I don't think Obama does. I don't know why, but I think he's smart enough to know that at least while in office, he just couldn't. Like, there's no fucking way he could get away with that.
Well, we know JFK did.
Right, we know he did. I don't know. I bet it's more common than not. I mean, don't you watch Scandal?
No, I haven't watched that. I apparently, I'm supposed to watch that. That's one of my shows.
You should.
Shows.
It's a good show. Anyway, I'm just curious as to how many really are out there. And we'll never know, obviously. Or maybe we'll know in another 80 years like we do about Warren G. Harding.
The Bushes.
It's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Did George Bush mess around? Who knows?
I don't know.
Maybe Laura did. Maybe there's First Lady letters out there. That's
be.
Good stuff.
Wouldn't that be? You know, kind of like some people think Hillary was having some strange on the side.
Hillary. I'd like to think that for her. This, us plain girls of the world would like to think that Hillary could get some on the side. So, all right. We've beaten Warren G. up. Yeah. Time to cut him off.
All right. But whoever didn't get cut off is Charlie Sheen.
That's true. He was overserved.
Yeah.
Okay, so scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love Charlie Sheen or hate him?
Well, I don't care. He's not on my radar.
Oh, I love him. I love him. I do think he's unapologetically a buffoon, and I appreciate that. I really, really do.
It must be a California thing.
Why is that?
Because he must take up headlines out there that just don't show up here. I didn't even know about this.
Have you seen the video?
Yeah, I went online and I
pulled it
up.
Right.
But it was not.
You're right. Well, first of all, California puts Hollywood shit as news, right? Like, that's box office scores are the number one news stories on most Monday mornings. So that the way that political shit is the story in D.C., we have box office. Okay, so, and long story short, for anyone who hasn't seen it, Charlie Sheen is drunk at a Taco Bell drive-thru and not in a car. And then the guy that he's with isn't in a car either, so I don't. Unless the car is just not pictured in the video. But some fans are taking this video. They call Charlie over to their car. He comes over, fist bumps them, chats with them. His shirt is all messed up. He is a wreck. And he even says on the video, "I'm sorry, I'm so hammered," which I love.
I'm so fucking hammered.
Of course.
I get a bell every time I use a profanity.
Or we at least got to take a drink. How's that? Hold on. You just said something profane. I'm going to take a drink. But he, you know, we talk about him, I think, when we do our Deadpool shows a lot, right? Like, he's one of those guys that could go at any moment and no one would be surprised. And he probably should go at any moment. But I do appreciate him because 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Jonah Hill, the young actor, was all up in the news because he had used the word faggot or fag. To denounce a paparazzi who was stalking him and causing him trouble.
And his family,
right? And the paparazzi guys was saying to him, "Dude, you look so sexy in your shorts," and was provoking him and taunting him in a weird, sort of weird sexual way, right? So Jonah Hill said, "Hey, faggot, leave me alone," or words to those effect. And then he had to go on this apology tour because he has his movie coming out, right? And who knows if the whole thing wasn't all staged to begin with. But I understand that that's a slur. Don't say it. Don't do it. I'm not excusing the word. I'm just saying that the apology tour in general by celebrities is overdone and unnecessary, and they are who they are. So maybe he's a bad example because that isn't the right thing to say.
He wasn't apologizing to the public. He was apologizing to the people in Hollywood who happen to be gay that he works with. Who does all that kind of stuff that he didn't want to hurt his friends. That's who he's really apologizing to.
That particular expression slur has been a problem for several male celebrities within the last year, right? Alec Baldwin, a couple others. Anyway, long story short, it's the Lindsay Lohans of the world who have to go around apologizing and going to rehab and the sexual rehab for this, you know, absolutely non-existent sexual addiction. All of the things that these people have to do to excuse their bad behavior is just kind of ridiculous, don't you think?
Well, I think there's I think it depends. I don't see the sexual thing. I don't know what that's about.
But, no. Maybe because we suffer from it. I don't know. But I... Yeah. Go on.
Well, I'm thinking more... But that Charlie Sheen, though, he just is not on my radar of... I mean, there's nothing for him to apologize. So he was drunk. Okay.
Okay.
He didn't insult anybody. He didn't hurt anybody. He just happened to get videoed by some local people being a little bit of a fool.
But he's got that toxic stigma to him, right? Like he's, you know, from his whole winning thing a couple years ago when he was holed up in this house with the prostitutes and the cocaine, which doesn't that sound like a good time? You know, he's been on this sort of recovery-ish bend, but not really. And he's never really gone into any sort of rehab or program. And he's just always kind of out there. And I kind of appreciate that about him. I think there were a lot of celebrities who wish they had his balls and could just be who they want to be. So,
well, that's true. I mean, at least he can go out and not, he's not worried, and he didn't have like a big old posse with him. And
no, he's that. Pretty easy. You know? Yeah. So it's a great video. If you haven't seen it, TMZ it or whatever, because it's just somebody having a good time, even though you probably shouldn't.
but you're not going to see anything really crazy. It's just,
oh, no. He's not doing anything crazy yet. But remember how he did it last time? It kind of came in threes with him. He had some crazy video come out, and then he made some crazy statements, and then even more stuff. So I bet this is he might be on another bender.
Does he make any money through this whole process?
He makes money hand over fist on the residuals from 2.5 Men or 3.5 Men, whatever it is.
Right. But what I'm getting at is by him doing this, is there something about his brand, and does his brand become more valuable because whether it's negative or positive publicity, does it?
I'm sure he becomes more valuable, and he'll get, you know, an extra bump if he goes on Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel to be interviewed or whatever. True. He'll get that meeting with FX again to talk about, you know, renewing his anger management show, which was terrible. He'll get more conversation. And I still think his juice from being a, what's his dad? Martin Sheen, right? Martin, what's his name?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Charlie Sheen. Or
his dad, right?
Yeah, Martin Sheen. President
Bartlett. Yeah. from West Wing. I think he still gets plenty of juice and plenty of goodness based on that. Whereas poor Emilio Estevez doesn't get any of that. But that was his fault for going with the Estevez.
I was going to say, if he just went with Amelia Sheen, he would be fine, right?
He would be just fine. So, all right, what's our next topic?
Okay, well, I guess we could talk about breaking news, because it did happen just today. Well, the morning of us recording this is this. I want to talk about it for a couple minutes.
We won't go ahead.
To death. Another Malaysia plane has crashed, been shot down. Whatever it is, latest reports on CNN say that a missile downed the jet, and it was over.
But no one is claiming it yet. No one's claiming responsibility for the missile.
I guess.
Correct.
But it was still another 777. I don't know if this spells the end of Malaysia Airlines or what.
Well, there's certainly no Qantas, right? I mean, they're not. Their record is not untarnished. That's for sure.
You know, there's that phone call to the FAA, and I don't know if you saw the movie Hunt for Red October.
Sure.
And at the end of the movie, the Russians call up the United States, and they call the State Department, and the guy goes, "You've lost another submarine."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
You know, you've lost another jetliner 777. I mean, the Boeing company's got to be going crazy.
You know what, though? I am tired of having this conversation about black boxes. And supposedly the black box has already been turned over to Russian officials. So the U.S. government earlier today was saying, well, we'll probably never really know what happens because the Russians get the black box. But here's my question. Why doesn't the black box content go to the cloud or go to somewhere that it doesn't have to be recovered? This is the year 2014. This cannot be technology that's mustered up. Why are we looking for a piece of literal you know, metal, whatever it is that the box is made out of that's supposedly so indestructible that we can't have this data transmitted the way we all make cell phone calls from the airplane now. How is this not happening?
Oh, I agree that every airplane should be sending its data back to, through a satellite, back to a place.
And aren't we a bunch of saps if that's not already happening?
I mean, if they're recording every cell phone conversation right now,
yes,
every picture and everything, and the NSA can grab that, but they can't get the fucking airplane data?
Yes! Angela Merkel's every move, apparently. All we do is record what Germany's doing. We can't get the black box from every flight from... I don't care if it's a Southwest flight from Ontario to Oakland. Get that shit up in the cloud. Like, what difference does it make? Why are we looking for these devices that are destructible, even though they claim to be indestructible?
But why isn't it on these vehicles worldwide all the time?
All the time. I don't get it. So I think we're just a bunch of rubes, and I think something's going on, and there's more Big Brother-isms that we don't know about, and they probably just don't tell us. I don't know.
That's a good question. We need to be asking those questions. So,
I need an aluminum foil hat, and then I will answer that question because I don't want to hear about another goddamn black box that's missing. Who gives a shit? All of it can be in the cloud. All of it.
Okay, based on that, I'm going to totally birdwalk our total subject here.
Okay.
Brought up aluminum foil hats.
Yes.
Have you watched the Weird Al Yankovic video about
foil? Of course I did. I put it on Facebook yesterday.
My God, that guy. And that actually is the big news. That bastard has now three, and I think there's another one out today, or supposed to be one.
There's going to be nine on nine websites that he wants to go viral, right? So he's... Yeah. Cross-promoting his video, cross-promoting these websites that he likes. He's a genius. And love him or hate him and his accordion, he's brilliant at it. I love him.
Those three videos are, every single one of them have been funny, dead on spot. I mean, just awesome. I have loved every one of them. I'm buying the album as soon as it comes out. I don't care if I hate the rest of the songs. It doesn't matter.
The only thing I don't like about him is I want to know what his secret is, because when you look at a picture of Weird Al today and you look at a picture of Weird Al 20 years ago when he was singing I'm fat," or whatever the songs were then, he looks exactly the same. He hasn't aged one day. I don't know what it is about accordion playing that keeps you young, but I am going to start squeezing that thing between my thighs if that's going to make me look as young as Weird Al, because he definitely needs to bottle whatever it is.
Not true at all. I think he looks a lot older, first off. If you look at him now,
he might look older, but not as old as he should.
Well, you know, he does yoga, and he's also a rabid vegetarian or vegan or whatever.
Oh, don't tell me that. I'm never going to be either of those things, so I'm doomed to look like an old geezer.
No. I'm just telling you, he apparently can contortion himself into a box. Apparently he is like that.
You know, he might go on my laminated card.
Your laminated card?
You know the laminated card reference, don't you? And you call yourself a child of the 90s. Did you never watch Friends?
Yeah.
You get a card of people, celebrities, that you get a free hall pass for, right?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And you have to laminate the card because you can't keep changing the card. It's on, it's on the card, and you get a punch card or whatever when you've done them. I think he might go on my card. I don't know why. There's no reason to like him. There's nothing intrinsically of value artistically for him, but I just think he's funny, and I still think he looks much younger than he should, and I'm all about it.
Yeah. Okay. On the cards. Weird Al. We'll let him know. Maybe we can get him on the show.
Zooey Deschanel would be on your card.
She would.
In every spot. And Weird Al would be on mine, right below Kevin Spacey and right above John Hamm.
A lot of celebrity crushes.
We all do.
Drew Barrymore is totally on mine.
I don't love her, but
A lot of women don't love her. Think that she's nothing.
I want to brush her hair. Do you ever see her on TV? She's always got hair that's kind of crazy.
She just seems so real to me. I like her in all of those Adam Sandler movies.
She's nice and damaged, I'll give you that. So who doesn't want that?
51st dates and the wedding singer. I totally see myself as the Adam Sandler character to that. So
right. You know who I don't get the sex appeal for is Cameron Diaz. Do you think she's hot?
It depends on what she's doing.
Okay. She's got that new movie coming out. Do you want to see that movie?
Yeah, sexy. Yeah. Come on.
Okay. It looks fun. Here again.
I mean, when she did the little pizza delivery thing or whatever it was, and she was dancing in her panties and Charlie's Angels,
right.
Yep, bouncing around on the bed, listening to music. Oh, it was sexy. I'm just straight up. All right.
I don't disagree. I don't know that I love it. All right. What else are we talking about today? Yes.
And the last thing is our Facebook dilemma.
Yes. So the little bit of background on this story is that Facebook supposedly altered the feeds for people. We don't know who was involved, right? And altered the feeds positively or negatively, and monitored reactions and subsequent posts based on the positive or negative feeds. Mm-hmm. Now, people are criticizing Facebook for that. My question is, and you and I have had this conversation before, that we don't see everything all the time in real time anyway. So it's kind of to be expected that Facebook is going to do that. Secondarily, are you negatively affected when your friends post negatively? I'm not, or I don't think I am. How about you?
Okay, so I think a lot of people will agree that you don't necessarily want to see a lot of religious posts if that's not your thing, and you don't want to see a lot of political posts that are necessarily in opposition to your own political beliefs.
Okay.
That kind of gets you a little bit riled up. I have worked really hard not to like political posts or repost them because I don't want to upset my friends with that stuff.
Right.
I just feel that I'm not going to change anybody's mind.
That's the first smart thing. Yes. No one is going to change their opinion, especially because of one Facebook post.
Yeah. Right. I mean, as much as I get the logic in what they've posted, I'm just not going there.
And so, we've all got that one friend who's still Obama is a Kenyan, birth certificate guy or whatever. We all got that friend who still posts that shit. It doesn't matter what you say.
Right. And I'm not going to get into the debate about all that stuff.
No, it's ridiculous.
Now I do, and maybe I'm a little, this is shitty of me, but with this stuff going on with Israel, I am posting every once in a while. I do like a lot of that kind of stuff that is pro-Israel support oriented. Mm-hmm. I try not to repost, share too much of it. But if there's something really good, I will share it that I think is worth seeing. But I do like it, so it may show up in your feed since I like it.
Well, that's a different story. When you like something and that comes up, I think people give that sort of little it is what it is, right? Like you like the picture or whatever. Yeah. But reposting it is a whole other thing.
It's saying that I actively want you to see this, is what that means.
I consciously
made that decision that you need to see this.
Need to see this because I think it's important.
Yeah.
I do think that Facebook, if I don't feel they overstep their bounds, they can do whatever they want with Facebook. We all participate on Facebook willingly and with having signed the agreement or clicking on the box, accepting the agreement, but they're going to do whatever the fuck they want, right? We don't get a say.
How much do we pay for this?
Right. Right. Keep Facebook free. In Ireland for the Irish. But I think that they need to be careful of this stuff because you've been a longtime predictor of their demise, right? Like you're anxiously awaiting Facebook to sort of go down and something new to replace them. And I don't see what that is yet, but it's going to happen, right? It's going to happen.
Something probably, I mean, I'm just looking at the trends over time. I mean, if you thought in a zillion billion years that Blockbuster was going to go out of business?
Absolutely not. Right. Yeah. I would still be buying VHS tapes today if I didn't know better.
Did you think that AOL was not going to be a service?
Did
you think that Nokia and BlackBerry would not be making cell phones?
No, I get it. It makes sense that something's going to come up.
I mean, and everyone thought that Apple was going out of business. So,
right.
I mean, I'm just saying that I just am, you know, looking at history. Not that that's a predictor of the future, but it does tend to repeat itself.
Most likely it is, right? Yeah. I don't hate Facebook for it. I don't like them anymore for it. I don't dislike them anymore for it. I don't know if you have a different opinion.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, I use it all day long. So apparently,
I know, it's okay
for me, you know.
But let me ask you this: can you imagine being in that conference room when this topic comes up? And what can we do, you know, to alter Facebook today? And someone says, "What if we did an experiment on however many percentage of followers or people who are on board?" Like, who? It's almost a little maniacal to agree to do that. And as a group of people sitting around a conference table, it had to start somewhere. Some group thought it was a good idea. So that seed of thinking in that group makes me wonder about what else are they capable of agreeing on? I don't know.
Well, I mean, here's the real question is that, let's say that you're some hacker organization that believes in information should be free for everybody.
Sure.
And, you know, I've got crazy privacy settings all over my Facebook because, you know, because I'm that way. And,
right. And you should.
I should, yeah.
Sorry.
So let's say, though, that they said, you know what, we want to delete all of the private aspect of Facebook. They go in and somehow are able to slash their database and all Facebook, every post, that every picture, everything is now publicly accessible.
There's nothing stopping them from doing that other than the goodwill and good intentions of not, right?
Well, I mean, that's the way that Facebook designed the system. But if somebody was able to, I'm not saying that they're going to do this. I'm not saying that it's even possible to do this. But let's say that there was some way that it just went through and converted every post to being, like, you went to someone's Facebook page, and you could see everything that they wrote.
Scary.
Or every private message that they've sent.
Oh my God, can you imagine the devastation?
you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, but you and I have had this conversation ad nauseum about don't ever put anything on the internet, anywhere, any place, anytime, that could compromise you and not be aware that it's out there.
Well, I'm compromised. Dun, dun, dun.
You and me both. Oh, well, we could still be president.
I'm sure. You know, I really think that it comes down to living in a place where people are accepting of the fact that you're crazy. So if they can see your goodwill and that you're really not going to do harm to them, and you're going to do the right thing, and this is if people running for office, then I think that they probably could get around all the sexual bullshit.
I'd like to think that, Jed. I think that's very progressive of you. I don't think I could make PTA president at this point. So I think.
You know what? My excuse is, I'm a retired sailor.
There you go. Yeah, right?
Retired sailor. Say no more.
There you go.
You were in the Navy. We know you did some shit. Okay, good.
You get a pass.
You get a pass. Okay. That's how it works.
Fair enough. All right, well, is that it for today? Because I got to go to bed because I got to get up at 4:45 to work out tomorrow for my first day in a row.
And I'm going to be tied up here for a few hours in about 15 minutes. So.
Well, there you go.
All right, let's wrap this up. We talked about a whole 15 minutes. We talked about exercise and summer and all that kind of jazz.
Yeah.
Talked about love letters from the president.
From Warren G.
Warren G. Yeah, and then we talked about Charlie Sheen, celebrity.
Love him or hate him, he's still all Charlie.
Breaking news with the downed 777, and I snuck in a little bit of Weird Al conversation.
Which I'm so glad you did.
That is really big topic right now.
Right now it is. Weird Al's hot, baby.
I'm telling you, it is. He is. Woohoo! And then the Facebook experiment. Maybe we need to get more information on it.
If Facebook's going to experiment, I hope they do some probing. I could stand to be probed. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, on that note.
What do you think the drop's going to be at the end of this podcast?
Listen to the very end, folks.
All the time. All right. For TJ Talks, I am Judd.
And I'm Teresa.
And we'll talk to you later.
Chat with you later. I could stand to be probed.